from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. At last month's Golden Globe Film Awards, Woody Allen was honored with the Lifetime Achievement Award. But that tribute also served to reignite old charges about Allen's past behavior, including his adopted daughter's charge of sexual abuse. In our first half hour, we'll take up the question of whether you can separate the art from the artist. And then in our second half hour...
I don't know if I could forgive somebody the way he's been able to forgive me.
I knew the only way I was going to get past it was to forgive him.
A new documentary by local filmmaker Jason Cohen is up for an Oscar. It's the dramatic story of two men, a violent attack, and the search for forgiveness. All ahead on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. What's your favorite Woody Allen movie? Before you answer, you should know that when I was 7 years old, Woody Allen took me by the hand and led me into a dim closet-like attic. So begins an intense and explicit letter written by Dylan Farrow, Woody Allen's adopted daughter. The letter was published by the New York Times last Saturday, not long after Allen had received a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Golden Globes. The award and the letter have reignited a debate not only about Woody Allen, but about whether you can or should separate the art from the artist. Can we, or should we, have an answer to Dylan Farrow's question? What's your favorite Woody Allen movie? We're going to focus our first half hour on that question and on this topic, and we're going to open up our phone lines so that you can weigh in on it right away. 866-733-6786 is our number. 866-733-6786. Can you separate the art from the artist? You can email us as well at forum@kqed.org. A number of comments have already come in. Here's a couple of them. Beth writes, how is what Woody Allen did different from not supporting owners of factory farms or owners of factories in India or China where workers are treated poorly? Why should we ever reward or ignore bad behavior? But then Chris wrote this, before we know anything about what happened or pass judgment on it, we should at least read up on the facts. Why is it that certain accusations, regardless of the person being accused, ensure that automatic guilt is assured? What are your thoughts on this? Can we separate the art from the artist? Join us at 866-733-6786. To get us started in our conversation, we're joined now by Adam Kirsch, who is senior editor and literary critic at The New Republic and a frequent contributor as well to Slate, The New Yorker, and Poetry Magazine. Adam, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So what do you think? Can you separate the art from the artist?
Well, I think we do it all the time. In fact, people always have and probably always will, not just with Woody Allen, but with all kinds of artists who, if you look too closely at their private life, are full of things that we wouldn't approve of, but it doesn't stop us from enjoying their work.
Is it something that we separate based on what that person may have done? Are there differences, in other words, between what's being raised about Woody Allen and all kinds of other bad behavior, whether that's R. Kelly or Chris Brown or any number of other pop stars?
Well, I think there's something sort of uniquely horrible about what Woody Allen is accused of, although, as you mentioned, people haven't stopped listening to Michael Jackson's songs, for example. We still enjoy those songs, and I don't think people who listen to them think that they're condoning child abuse or anything that Michael Jackson may have done. They're making a separation between the song that he put out into the world and the person he was in his private life.
Is there a statute of limitations on bad behavior? A number of people have cited in articles written about this recently that, you know, everyone going all the way back to the Renaissance poet Ben Jonson, who killed someone, and yet we still read his poetry, or the work of Wagner. We still listen to his operas. Is there a time frame which makes this question relevant or not?
I think that probably there is, in the way that we react emotionally to something. I mean, after all, the charges against Woody Allen that we're talking about now have already been known. They were made 20 years ago at the time that they first came out, and that hasn't stopped people from going to see his movies in the intervening 20 years. I think that as time passes, and it doesn't even have to be on the scale of hundreds of years, but maybe even just a few years, these things sink out of sight. People put a polite silence over them, and they continue to enjoy things that they want to enjoy.
What do you think is going to happen with he just got the Lifetime Achievement Award, the Cecil B. DeMille Award at the Golden Globes, has a film up for an Oscar, A Blue Jasmine, this year. Is the Academy likely to sort of take all of this into consideration, do you think? That will play out in what awards are handed out Oscar night?
Well, I can imagine that Kate Blanchett is probably pretty upset about what this is doing to her Oscar chances. I think that it probably will have an effect because the Academy must know that it would look terrible to give Woody Allen or people associated with the film an award when everyone's talking about this scandal. In the near term, I would imagine that it'll have an effect. In the long term, probably not as much.
The reference, the Cate Blanchett reference, in part, was something that also was part of the Dylan Farrow letter, which ends so poignantly and plaintively in a way. Let me read part of that. At the end of her letter that was published in the Times, she sort of calls out part of the Hollywood acting establishment, and she writes, "What if it had been your child, Cate Blanchett, Louis C.K., Alec Baldwin? What if it had been you, Scarlett Johansson? You knew me when I was a little girl, Diane Keaton. Have you forgotten me?" It's powerful stuff. How did you react to the letter itself, Adam?
Well, it's extremely powerful, and it's extremely well crafted and designed to taint Woody Allen in the minds of the public and to taint his work, to make it feel as though we're complicit in whatever he did every time we see one of his movies. That's the intent of the letter. I'm not sure if people will agree with that, if people will actually take that to heart, because I think people do make a separation between going to see a movie and endorsing everything that the movie maker did in his private life.
What's your feeling about Tatiana Baez wrote this in the NYU News recently. She writes, "Every time we pay to see a Woody Allen movie or download an R. Kelly song, we praise the work and thus indirectly tell victims that their attackers should not be punished. We're saying that we value art more than we value justice."
Well, I think that you can value both. People should be punished as individuals for things that they did. In this particular case, it seems as though there is not ever likely to be a legal resolution or a legal punishment for Woody Allen if he deserves one. But I don't think that liking the work implies any judgment about the person or certainly about the victim.
Let's hear what some of our listeners are thinking. Stay with us, if you would, Adam. We'll hear first from Colin, who joins us in Walnut Creek. Colin, go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I like Wagner's music, but I don't think that makes me an anti-Semite. I can understand the seriousness of the charges against Woody Allen. I think there probably is, on his part, like Roman Polanski, a past history of behavior that most people would find reprehensible. But I think we have to distance the artist from his or her work.
Colin, do you feel like you can still go see, or have you seen Blue Jasmine? And can you go feeling and taking that movie in and sort of setting aside everything else?
Yeah, I think it was a fantastic movie. It would be horrible to see Cate Blanchett denied a Best Actress Oscar based on things that Woody Allen is alleged to have done 20 years ago. There should also be a distinction made between art and the justice process, too. Dylan Farrell has an opportunity, at least, that if the prosecutors won't press charges, she could have filed charges against Allen for assault. On the reverse of that, too, if Woody Allen could also sue her for defamation, if he so chose.
Colin, thanks for the call. And, of course, we're the New York Times, as I understand it, Adam Kirsch, is still considering publishing a sort of rebuttal piece from Woody Allen. Is that right?
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Let's hear another point of view now. Alan in Sacramento joins us next. Alan, go ahead.
Good morning. To quote the headline from the Salon.com article from day before yesterday, I believe, "Not so fast." A gentleman by the name of Edie, I believe, E-I-D-E, penned an article where he is the filmmaker of a documentary on Mr. Allen, and he was with him throughout a great deal of the time when Miss Soon-Yi was the daughter of actually on Andre Previn and Mia Farrow. So Mr. Allen is not guilty of a lot of the aspersions that people are casting about him. There have been, in our society, we're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And unfortunately, in this case, from what I read on the Salon.com article, Mr. Allen has more than a leg to stand on when it comes to refuting the claim from Ms. Farrow. And the thing that I find most distressing about the tone of your show so far today has been this constant reinforcement of the positive aspersion that Mr. Allen is, in fact, guilty of child molestation.
Okay, Alan, thanks for the call. No, we haven't said that anything about guilt or innocence. It's simply that these charges have been raised once again, which has ignited this debate about whether or not you can separate someone's work from what someone may or may not have done based on whether or not that's adjudicated or not. In this case, as you correctly point out, there never were criminal charges filed. It's also tricky, and Adam Hirsch, you can help me keep all of this straight, but I think this gets blended together often. Woody Allen is married to Sunyi Previn, who was Mia Farrow's adopted daughter, not Woody Allen's. That's a separate question and situation. Whether or not you find that troublesome is one question. Dylan Farrow was Woody and Mia's adopted daughter, and so it's important to keep those two cases or those two situations separate. Let's hear next from Brady in Novato. Brady, go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I believe that attitudes about child molesting has changed in the 20 years that Adam talks about, how we heard about this 20 years ago and did nothing. And now we're increasingly aware that what he calls the polite silence that we might have had 20 years ago when we believed that a neighbor was molesting a child under their care, that we've changed. And that's a very, very positive change for this country.
And Brady, how does that affect your interest or lack of interest, or your desire or lack of desire to see a film by Woody Allen?
I'm certainly not going to support him with $1 of my money ever again. And you're right, 20 years ago, I might have been able to separate the art from the artist. But now I'm a little more keenly aware of my social responsibility to speak up, to spend my money according to my values when it comes to child molesting. That's got to be everybody.
Even though criminal charges were never filed, that's how you have come to a decision about this. Yeah,
it's very seldom, and I'm sure it's statistically true, very, very seldom. Look at the fact that 1/3 of women in America say that one time they were sexually molested. It's time we change that. And we can't wait for everyone and every child to grow up to 18 if their mother doesn't care to press charges. We can't wait for every child to be 18 to bring those charges.
Brady, thanks. I'm going to hold you there so we can get more callers engaged in our conversation. But thank you. Thanks for adding your point of view to this. Let's hear from another caller, Aaron in Pleasanton. Aaron, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Do you think you're talking to
Aaron? Oh, I'm sorry. We jump calls. Lark, go ahead. And I'll get to you, Aaron, in just a second.
Okay. Thanks a lot. And I love for him. But I grew up in San Francisco in a family of artists, and I oftentimes think it's much more difficult for artists. But in this particular thing, I think if, like, a CEO had done the same thing, he would be totally out on his butt. But I think there are a lot of people who are almost afraid of kind of, like, the cool factor. I know people like this, and judging, and they'll be kind of a lot more forgiving toward artists when they do things like this. As I said, if it was a politician, he would be totally out on his butt. And the same people who never would want to judge Woody Allen would be, oh, my God, that person is so terrible. But I know women who when the Woody Allen thing are totally, you know, like, oh, he's a fine artist. No, no, no. But I've asked them, what if it was like, you know, like your sister or your daughter? And they just won't even go there. So I think there's a certain edge that they don't want to seem like uncool.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for adding your point of view. It's an interesting point, Adam Kirsch. What do you make of that? That we look at artists differently than we look at people in business, or perhaps how we look at politicians?
Well, I think there would be
two ways to look at it. One is that if you found that the CEO of a corporation was guilty of something in their private life, that wouldn't necessarily lead you to stop buying the product, because you would recognize that many other people are involved in the in that production process. There's no direct connection between, say, the head of Chrysler and the cars Chrysler builds, and that you're not necessarily condoning something by continuing to purchase that car. That's one point. The other point is that politicians, like, say, priests, are held up to a higher standard because they're intended to embody certain virtues. We look to them to live certain virtues, whereas an artist, I don't think, is expected to live their virtues. They're expected to express them in some way. And as we know from the history of art, those two things often don't go together.
Yeah, the laundry list or lengthy list of artists from Picasso to Roman Polanski, to Wagner, R. Kelly, Chris Brown, so many more is lengthy indeed. Let me read a few other comments coming in on our Facebook page. Leah writes, "I cannot support someone who I morally oppose." But Gretchen says, "I think that in some instances art can stand on its own. Whether or not you forgive the person for abuse is a different issue. Dylan's story is so similar to my own, and I know I will never watch another Woody Allen film." But Carol adds this, "We don't know what Woody Allen did. Anyone who thinks children do not lie or cannot be convinced to lie need to look at the McMartin preschool scandal back in 1983. Tony, I'm inclined to believe that the accusations against Woody Allen are true, but I still love his movies, and I will see every new film he releases. What are you getting, Adam Kirsch, as you hear about this and it resonates around the country? Is the kind of thing we're hearing this morning on forum similar to the kind of feedback that you're getting and you're picking up on elsewhere?
I think so, and I think that in the near term, I think a lot of people are very angry and very disgusted about Woody Allen and think, I'm not going to support him. That's, I think, a legitimate reaction. A bigger question would be, what about 25 years from now when he's not alive anymore? Would it then still be wrong to watch one of his movies, say, Manhattan or Annie Hall? Would it still be wrong to enjoy them if he's not directly profiting from you going to the theater and buying a ticket? Or is it specifically that you don't want to help him in some way in the present? I think those might be two different questions.
It's exactly the question, actually, that one of our listeners just emailed in. Charlie writes, Wagner does not benefit when you listen to his music. Woody Allen does benefit from his future film prospects and from his current popularity. Here's another comment from Joe. Why miss out on great art and great literature? There was a lot of time spent on Hateful Things by Orson Scott, but his books are great. I buy copies of those books from the library or go to the library whenever I can. Dale writes, I do not condone any behavior like that discussed in this incident, but I believe if the New York Times allowed Dylan Farrow to publish her open letter, they should allow Woody Allen to publish his response. What's your view on that, Adam Kirsch, about the sort of journalism question involved in that? I think it was appropriate, number one, to publish this letter. And would it also then be appropriate to publish Woody Allen's response?
Well, it's a difficult question. I think having published the first letter, it would be incumbent on them to publish a response. And I think that would be probably, in terms of news value, it would be a good idea as well, because it's something people would want to read.
Let's go back to our calls. John in San Francisco has our next thought. John, go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, you can separate art from life, from the artist, excuse me. And, you know, I think the show's kind of about two different topics here. It's sort of the art and the artist, but then you're kind of really hitting on Woody Allen, and he's just a brilliant filmmaker, a brilliant writer and director, and, you know, his work will supersede him and does now, perhaps.
Can you
so
comment?
People have their own personal motives, and you know, there's, you know, we all have our personal motives, and it's a transparent world. So, you know,
John, can you comment on how you separate those things as far as any, whether not just Woody Allen, but anyone else? If you're looking at a Picasso painting,
well, I think people leave, you know, a legacy, and that's a piece of art that will last, that will outlast them, and I think that's beyond sort of the human lifespan, and I think that's more important, you know, in a sense, and artists are artists, you know, we all have secrets, who knows what's true, there's allegations, I don't necessarily believe them or not, so
okay.
That's how I see it.
Yep, John, thank you, thanks. Let's go next to Peter in Oakland. Peter, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to sort of change this around a little bit because you've been talking about like bad behavior that somebody did, and then they're also an artist. But I wanted to mention, like, for example, like I've often thought about like novelists and maybe also perhaps some filmmakers as well. Somebody like Pat Conroy, he's written a lot of novels that involve his family, and a lot of times the family members are portrayed in a bad light. But we have no idea what really happened in those families. People tend to read his novels, take his side, think of themselves and the way maybe they were mistreated in their families. And it's sort of easy for somebody who has the power, they have the soapbox because they are looked up to and everybody's buying their novels or going to see their movies. And so people tend to take their sides. But we don't really know. We're all humans, and we don't really know what happened in those families. And maybe there are family members who are like, hey, you know, I can't write my novel. When do I get to tell my side of the story?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that that's an important part to look at, too, as well.
Peter, thank you. Thanks for raising that. Some other comments coming in, lots of comments and commentary on this. It shows, Adam Kirsch, how much this sparks, I think, a lot of debate among people and inside yourself, for that matter. Tony writes, if I avoided the art and music that was created by people that I find unsavory, I'd live in a silent house with bare walls. Chris tweets, why separate Alan's life from his work when the work is so personal? Manhattan was about Alan, 42, and a woman of 17. Ben writes, we must examine our own hero worship and the celebrity culture. We put people on pedestals, often at our own expense. These people are people. They do good and they do evil, make art just like the rest of us. And Jack writes, what happens if one of the Google founders falters morally? Do we stop searching on Google? What if we found an immoderate racial opinion in the papers of Steve Jobs? Do we toss out our smartphones? Movies have utility to the consumers, measured by the consumer's light. The producer has little to do with it. In the end, that's sort of where you come down on this, right, Adam Kirsch, that people are going to do what suits them.
I think so. I mean, I think as a practical matter, people will follow what gives them pleasure. And just as we don't today look back at all the movies we watch and say, oh, for example, we've heard bad things about Joan Crawford, therefore we're not going to watch a Joan Crawford movie ever again, people are able to separate the person from the art and continue to enjoy it.
And how, in the end, do you think this will this just kind of ripple out and fade with time, or will this, put in perspective, if you would, how you think Woody Allen will be remembered?
I think that there's no doubt that this is going to be part of his reputation forever, just as many other Hollywood scandals and other kinds of scandals that are never proved, never resolved in a court of law. But that doesn't mean that the stain of that scandal goes away. I think that when people talk about him and remember him, this is going to be one of the things they remember about him, just as with Roman Polanski or Michael Jackson.
And will either Woody Allen or Cate Blanchett win Oscars?
I have no inside information, but if I had to bet, I'd say no.
All right. Adam Kirsch, of senior editor and literary critic at the New Republic. Thanks for adding your perspective to our conversation. Appreciate
Thank
it very
you.
Much. We will continue with Forum in just a moment. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to take up the subject of a different film, a film also nominated for an Oscar in the short documentary category. Fascinating story about two young men, a violent evening in L.A., what happened between them and their journey to forgiveness. We'll take that up with local filmmaker Jason Cohen in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson.